Welcome to the Sermon Podcast of Coosada Baptist Church. We want to be a lighthouse to guide you on your journey through life. Listen as our pastor, Dr. Jim Graham, shares a message from God's Word and offers sound biblical direction for your daily life.
Talked about last week being equipped and how one person can make a difference. There was a preacher who was doing revivals years ago, and he had this tent set up, and he was doing revivals, and there were two 14-year-old boys wanted to check it out, and they came up, and when they came and looked at the back of the tent, it was full, didn't look like there was a seat, so they took off and decided to leave. And there was a guy who was an usher, he was just helping people, and he chased them down and said, "Hey boys, y'all want to come in? Like, y'all come back. I'll find you a spot. There's still some seats." And so they went back with him, and he found seats for them, asked a couple of people to move over and let them sit there, and they were saved that night. And one of those young men was Billy Graham, who ended up preaching and sharing crusades over all the, you know, I'm telling how many thousands of people came to know Christ because of Billy Graham. But I want to tell you something. We don't even know the name of that usher. We don't even know his name. But you can make a difference. One of the ways you can make a difference is a ministry like the Gideons. The Gideons are an awesome ministry. Their whole ministry is to share the Word of God, share Bibles with people. It's cool, all the different Bibles they have. They have different colors and different things for different groups of people that they share those with, and there's a display out with some Gideons out in the lobby in the entrance hall, and I'd love for you to meet some of them just to look at their Bibles and stuff. We, as a church, contribute to their ministry and to buy Bibles, and you might be interested in being a Gideon. If you want to know more about what that is, talk to them about that. But anyway, you can just go by and look at their Bibles and stuff. They'd love to tell you more about some of the places they go, like the prisons, to share those. One of the ways that my family uses the Bible ministry is when there's a death in someone's family, and a lot of people go, "Don't send flowers," you know, whatever. One of the things we do is you can go online to the Gideons, and you can donate to buy Bibles. And when you donate to the Gideons themselves pay for all their administrative costs, so when somebody donates, it all goes to actually buy Bibles. And so you can purchase Bibles, and they will send cards to the people saying that, "Hey, in memory of your loved one, five Bibles were purchased, you know, so and so." So that's a great way to use their ministry too. But anyway, I just want to let you know about them, and it is a great, great ministry. Let's shift gears. We're in the book of Ephesians together, and our series is called Made New. We're talking about from blessing to battle, becoming who God calls us to be. Sometimes when I do this, we get this far into a series, I feel like I should do like the Netflix thing or the streaming service previously on Made New, you know, go through the series episodes. So in episode one, we talked about being blessed and how we're chosen and loved and blessed. In episode two, we talked about grace and its power to change our lives. In episode three, we talked about access, how you and I have access to the Creator, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, with no barriers. In episode four, we talked about how we're sent to share Christ with the world. Episode five was being filled with, to overflowing with God's love and God's power and God's strength. And in episode six last week, we talked about being equipped, how each one of us has motivations and gifts and skills and instructions that are designed to help other people in God's family. And we're equipped to build up and encourage others. And today, we're going to shift gears and talk about change. We're going to move away from what Paul's been describing as who we are in Christ to actually now how we should live. And I want to talk to you this morning about real change. Now, a phrase you hear us say all the time in Coosada Baptist Church, is that Jesus Christ loves you just the way you are. But also, he loves you too much to leave you that way. Now, both of those concepts are very important. He loves you just the way you are. There's nothing that you need to do or change to be accepted by Christ, to be loved by Christ, to be forgiven by Christ. You don't have to reach a certain level for him to embrace you and love you and forgive you. So he loves you just the way you are. But the second part of that is equally true. He loves you so much that he accepted you just the way you are, but the way you are is broken, flawed, filled with all kinds of issues, and he doesn't want you to stay that way. He loves you, so he wants to transform your life and help you grow and mature and change from that. I think we struggle in our culture today with both of those. I think sometimes people think they've got to do stuff to get God to accept them and love them, and that's not true. You don't have to do anything. He died for you in your sinfulness, right? But the other thing I also think our culture struggles with, I think our culture says, you should accept me the way that I am, and I shouldn't have to change anything. You should just accept me with all of my flaws and embrace me in that. And that's not the way God operates. God goes like, well, you know, you could be better. Your life could be better and things could change. And that's not just because to please him. It's because he wants the best for you. So he wants you to grow. So we're going to talk this morning about how real faith produces real change and transformation. And how does that work? How can we do that? How can we change? Well, change always starts with a realization. It always starts with the fact that I need to change, that I want to change. The way I would word it is, we get to the point where we say, I can't do this anymore. Like, I can't live like this anymore. We do it in all kinds of arenas, right? Like, your house is a mess, and that's fine, and you're just fine with it, and it just keeps the mess. And then there's a certain point where it's messy enough, you just go, like, oh, I can't live like this anymore, right? I got to fix this. I got to straighten this up. I got to clean this. Sometimes physically, you know, there's something about, you know, and you might just go like, I can't do this anymore. I got to make some changes, right? I can't live this way anymore. And sometimes it's in other ways. Could be in a job or a relationship. Like, this is driving me crazy. It's been driving me crazy. I've been putting up, I can't do this anymore, right? That realization is the spark of a spiritual transformation too. Where you just go, the way I'm thinking, the way I'm struggling, the stuff that I'm dealing with, like, I don't want to do that anymore. I can't live like this anymore. And so Paul describes this mindset. He talks about it in the term of a Gentile mindset, but what he's talking about is people who don't follow God and don't know God. So in Ephesians 4, verse 17, he describes this. Now, listen, we're having some internet issues this morning because a storm came through and there's some internet outages all in the area. So hopefully, number one, if you're a person like me, you got your Bible on your phone, I hope you've downloaded it. You know, you can download it so you don't need the internet, okay, and you just have it with you. Second of all, though, I would love it if you'd bring like a book Bible, like with paper and stuff in it, to church with you. I always walked around with I'd have my paper Bible, and then, so those Gideons have those little bitty pocket Bibles out there. You'll see them. And I used to have a pocket Bible I'd carry around with me. So my phone is my pocket Bible, and then I have a book that I can flip the pages and write it. I know that's old school, that might, whatever, but I encourage you to bring your Bibles with you to church. But anyway, Ephesians 4, verse 17, with the Lord's authority, I say this, live no longer as the Gentiles do, for they are hopelessly confused. Their minds are full of darkness. They wander far from the life God gives because they have closed their minds and hardened their hearts against him. They have no sense of shame. They live for lustful pleasure and eagerly practice every kind of impurity. Now listen to what he's talking about. He's talking about realizing that my mind and my heart aren't functioning like I want them to. I'm not seeing what I'd like to see. I'm not feeling the way I wish I was feeling. Like, things aren't good. I want to change this. And he's using words like darkened understanding, closed mind, hard hearts. What, some of your translation says you've lost sensitivity to God. Like, you can't feel him and hear him. And it's that mindset of like, okay, like, I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to feel like this anymore. I don't want to struggle in this way. You know, I hear when I read about God and I read about peace and security and like, I want that stuff and I don't feel that. Like, I feel anxiety, I feel fear, I'm frustrated, I'm struggling, I'm angry. Like, I have all these emotions and I want to change. I'm struggling with my mind and what I'm thinking about and how I'm thinking about those things. And like, I need to get it together. I don't want to live like this anymore. And that's where it starts. Change starts when we decide, I don't want to live like that anymore. Now, the second step after we get to that point is change requires removing some things. Now, in Paul's analogy, he tells us something that you and I can really relate to. Sometimes when I read Bible analogies and it's talking about, you know, sowing wheat in a field, and there's probably no wheat farmers in here, whatever. This one is one that everybody in this room can relate to, all right, for two reasons. One, you wear clothes, and number two, you live in Alabama and it's August, okay? Here's what he says in verse 20. He said, but that isn't what you learned about Christ. Since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Throw off. It is clothes removing words. Throw it off, strip it off, shed it, discard it, renounce it, get rid of it. So you know, like if you went outside yesterday and you like piddled around, worked in the yard or something. Yesterday I was out in the yard and I wasn't actually working. My driveway's messed up and there were people there like working on my drive. So I was supervising, you know, I was making sure everything was done properly, whatever. But even just standing out there, guess what? In a matter of time, just, you know, you're in Alabama. So it's not long for your shirt, you're not wearing your shirt, it's sticking to you. You know, it's just sticking to you, right? And so there's wording like, okay, your clothes are dirty, your clothes are nasty, right? So what you do is you take them off. You take them off. And that, you know, like normal, I take my clothes off, I throw them in the dirty clothes hamper, right? I've got a little basket that the dirty clothes. But on those days, you can't throw them in the dirty. You can't throw them in there. They're wet. Like, you got to hang them up, let them dry. They smell horrible, you know, like after they dry. You know, y'all know what I'm talking about. Don't you know what I'm talking about? Y'all are all like, not to us. You, Brother Jim, you're nasty, but we're, no. So just like dirty clothes, the old things have to be removed. And he mentioned some of them, and we'll talk about them more, lying and stealing and anger and bitterness. But I don't think it's just those things. I think it's the way we're thinking. I think it's what's in our heart. And he goes, you got to take that stuff off. You got to get rid of it. You're not going to be able to change until you get rid of the stuff that's in the way. Now, the only way you can get rid of that stuff is in his power. You're not going to be able to do it by yourself, but you've got to get rid of it. And there's a writer called C.S. Lewis. You may have heard of him. He wrote a lot of kind of allegories that had Christian principles in them, and many of them are famous and well-known. But in one of his stories he wrote, he described this person, and it's that old adage of like, there was this like lizard-like creature that would like sitting on his shoulder, and it was kind of a part of him. It was a part of him, and it was giving him bad advice all the time, like talking in his ear. And then he encountered this holy being, this angel, this whatever. And the angel is in a conversation with the guy, and he said, "Let me kill it. Let me kill it." And the man starts going like, "Well, that's kind of harsh. Like that seems brutal. Like that seems tough. Like, do we have to kill it?" And the angel's going like, "Yes, we have to kill it. Let me kill it." And he's going like, "Well, like, isn't there a better way? Isn't there a way that's not so, you know, final? Like, can't we just, you know, set him aside?" And he goes, "No, let me kill it." And he's coming closer and closer. And eventually he grabs he's got his hands around his throat. And he says, "Just let me get rid of it. Let me kill it." And the man starts to know. And then the little lizard starts talking to him like, you don't want to get rid of me. Like, you know, what would that be like? Like, you've had me. I've been around your whole life. Like, what's it going to be like if I'm gone?" And so it's kind of a, you know this story because you live it. It's just that thing of like, well, we just want to hold on to the things that we're familiar with, even though they're causing us problems. And it's like the Spirit goes, no, what we got to do is get rid of that. We need to remove it. We've got to take that out. We're not going to be able to move forward unless we get rid of some things. And there's some things in your life. There's some things, sometimes I call it stinking thinking. You ever call it stinking thinking? Like, you got to change the way you think. You got to change some things about the way you're living. You can't have that attitude. You've got some material resources that need to go. You got some areas in your life you need to change. There's some people that need to go. Like, there's just things in your life that need to be removed. I'm going to guarantee you something. I want you to think about something. Let's say you were doing something yesterday. You were working in the yard, or you're doing something, and you got all sweaty and stuff, and then you came in, and then everybody said, "Hey, let's get in the car and let's go get something to eat. Let's go out to dinner, okay?" And so everybody's like, "Well, what would you say? I need to freshen up. Like, I need to freshen up and change it." I guarantee you what nobody did in that scenario. You didn't just go get another shirt and put it on over the stinky, sticky shirt you were wearing that you were working in. You didn't do that. You didn't just keep your sweaty socks on and your shorts that are sticking to you. You didn't do that. I know this is nasty I'm describing, but I'm just saying, you didn't just put on something new over it to mask it and just keep going. You didn't just take a bottle of cologne or something, go, you know, and just put up. Some of you may have, I don't know, but that's not what we do. You peel off the nasty, the old, and you remove it. You get rid of that, you know, and that needs to be washed and clean. And then you freshen up and you put on new. So change requires removing some things. And if you're not willing to remove some things from your life, you're not going to go forward. First step is, I can't live like this anymore. I'm not going to do this anymore. Second step then, I'm going to change some things. I'm going to identify some things that need to go. There's some stuff that needs to go. Now, as I change, there's a third step, and the third step has to do with my mind. Change comes with a renewed mind. We often start thinking about the basic things. You know, don't lie anymore, don't cheat, don't steal, but really what we have to change is our mind. Verse 23 says this: "Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes." So true transformation is not just about behavior modification, it's about heart and mind renovation. I've got to change the way I think. I've got to rewire the way that I'm thinking about things. I need to think differently. Because at my heart, what the issues are, it's not just what I'm doing, it's why I'm doing it. Like, we talk about what? Well, I'm, you know, anger. And it's, well, why are you angry? My fear, but why am I afraid? My anxiety, well, but why am I anxious? Or I'm doing this too much, well, why? Or I'm not doing this like I should, well, why? What is it about my mind and my thinking and my heart and its desires, because when true transformation takes place, you don't just change the actual thing I'm doing. You know, a lot of people say, I just need to start coming to church. You know, I need to get up on Sunday morning and come to church. Couldn't agree with you more. I think that's fantastic. Want you to. I think that goes along with the process. But I'm gonna tell you that you can come to church and you're still, that's not a change. There's this Saturday Night Live skit that I think is hilarious from back in the day. It's Adam Sandler. You know, you can go ahead and tell your friends that Brother Jim, my pastor, used an Adam Sandler reference this morning in preaching. But here it is. It's kind of like a travel announcement. It's kind of like an advertisement for travel. And it's making a joke, and it's saying, come to Italy. Come to Italy. And in the advertisement, he goes, now, I want you to know that if you're depressed where you're at, you can come to Italy, but it won't fix your depression. You'll just be depressed in Italy. You know, if you have this kind of problem and this kind of problem, I want you to know that coming to Italy won't change who you are. You'll just be this person in Italy. You're still the same you. You just won't be where you are. You'll now be in Italy. So if you're miserable and you complain and you get frustrated, you just come over here, you'll still be miserable and complain and frustrated. See, sometimes what we think is, it can't be me, it's the environment. So if I change the environment, it's going to change my problems. And what God is saying is, no, what you have to do is change your heart and the way you think. And so I'm glad you're in church, and I want you to come to church, but I want you to know, just coming to church itself is not going to change your heart. Now maybe while you're here, you hear things and you take action on some things, but that will make a difference. But what those things are is changing the way you think and where your heart is. So real transformation, the third step is, okay, I'm removing some stuff. I'm getting rid of some stuff that needs to go. But now I've got to start thinking differently. I've got to start analyzing not just what I'm doing, but why have I been doing this? And then we get to the fourth thing. And the fourth thing is, we have to put on the new. So what God gives us is not just a ticket to heaven. He gives us a wardrobe change. And so he says specifically in verse 24, put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. So I'm getting rid of some stuff, but I got a new set of clothes for you. I got something new for you to put on. All right, I'm not going to point you out, but I thought it was great. I'm just walking around this right before service, and one of you said, Satan tried to keep me from coming to church this morning. I tried on 5 different outfits, and I looked fat in every one of them. I'm just keep looking, right? Just keep looking. Find the one, right? So basically what God said, like, I've got a new outfit for you. I've got something new for you to wear. And he begins to describe some of these things. Look at verse 25. He talks about changing falsehood to truth. He says, stop telling lies. Let's tell our neighbors the truth. Because falsehood, lying, ruins relationships. You can't build a relationship on untruths. They won't hold up. But I'm going to tell you something. This isn't just about you lying to other people. I'm going to tell you who you lie to more than anybody else. You lie to yourself. You tell your stuff that's not true. And it's causing you all kind of issues because you believe stuff that's not true. And so he doesn't just say stop lying. Stop dealing with untruth. He says, you got to put on what's true. You got to find, well, what is true? What is the real thing? There's a teenager I was talking to a couple of weeks ago, and they said they had done something, and they asked me my opinion. How did they do? Well, I had already told Perlene, I thought they did great. Like, I thought, without prompting, I said, man, they did a good job. And then afterwards, I said, how did I do? Like, that was terrible, wasn't it? It was awful. You know, and I'm like, why are you talking to yourself like that? Like, it was great. And they're beating themselves up, telling themselves it was awful, telling themselves it was terrible. That's what you do. right? You tell yourself all kinds of things. He said, we got to take off those lies. And we got to change our mind and heart. And we got to find out what God really thinks and what is true. What is the truth? He says in verse 26, talks about anger. He says, don't sin by letting anger control you. Instead, don't let the sun go down while you're still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. So here's a shift from uncontrolled anger to a righteous handling of anger. Like, look, we all get angry. We all get angry. You get mad, I get mad. But there's an anger that controls you. And you make all kinds of mistakes, and there are all kinds of problems because that anger, it's got you. And then there's an anger that you've got it. Oh, you're still angry. But you're still in charge, in control. You're handling it. And those are two very different things. Very different. And he says, I want to move you from this version to this version. Let's take this one off and let's put this on. Listen to the next thing he says. If you're a thief, quit stealing. Instead, use your hands for good hard work and then give generously to others in need. So we're going to move from stealing to honest work and generosity. The opposite of stealing is not paying for what the thing is. The opposite of stealing is not stealing. The opposite of stealing is generosity. And so stealing is not, it's a mindset. It's not just about, you're probably not wandering around Walmart sticking things in your pocket. But what stealing really is it's for me, it's mine, it's what I need, and it's all focused on that. And generosity is focused on, well, what do you need? And what do I have that I could share with you? It's a totally different mindset. And he said, I want to shift you from this mindset to that mindset. Verse 29, don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. He says, negative stuff comes out of your mouth, just negative, negative, negative. And I want that to shift to encouragement and positivity. What are you saying? I had a friend one time, and that friend, like, we were around them, and they were always saying stuff about their spouse. They were just like, da-da-da. And finally, I just said to him, I said, you got to stop doing that. I said, what? I said, I don't want to hear it anymore. And then we're like, I'm not trying to. Well, I said, I don't know what you're trying to do. It doesn't matter, but I'm not going to participate. You know, do what your grandma said. If you don't have any good thing, you know, say, just don't say it. But I'm not going to participate in that conversation anymore. Quit talking negatively. You're setting yourself up for problems. Say something positive. And so literally, this is ball practice. And I show up at ball practice, and they started talking in a positive way. They would go, hey, like intentionally now, want to say something positive about my spouse. Let me tell you this, you know, what they did. And I'm like, good. And they kept doing that. And now they've been married for 30 years. Negative to encouraging. And then in verse 31, he says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, slander, all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Just as God through Christ has forgiven you. You're fill in the blank is forgiveness. You're holding on to something. You're playing it in your head over and over again because it happened to you and it upsets you. And you're playing that sad record over and over and over. And it either makes you sad or angry or bitter. And he goes, can we just take that record off? Let's just not play that record anymore. Let's put on forgiveness. Let's let that go. Let's take that one off our playlist. And we're just not going to review that harmful, that hurtful thing anymore. It's not doing us any good. Let's move forward. Take it off. And let's put on forgiveness. This is what a spirit changed life looks like. Take off the old, putting on the new every day. He didn't just give us a ticket to heaven. He gave us a wardrobe change. It's not behavior modification. It's spirit-empowered transformation. He doesn't say try harder. He says take off, renew your mind, and put on. Jesus loves you just the way you are. But he loves you too much to leave you that way. So turn your eyes to Jesus. Let's turn our eyes to him this morning. He's the one who died for you. He's the one that wants to give you truth and power to truly change your life. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that in Christ we're made new. Forgive us when we hold on to the old ways, to anger, bitterness, and sin. And today, we ask you to renew our minds, soften our hearts, fill us with your Spirit, so that we can put on the new life you've given us. Make us kind, compassionate, forgiving, truthful, generous, Spirit-filled people. Lord, change us from the inside out and make us more like Jesus each day.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. It is our prayer that it's been helpful in this part of your life journey. We invite you to join us at Cusada Sunday mornings for worship. Visit our website at cusadabaptist.org for directions and more information about our church.